భగవద్ గీత 2.12 త్వేవాహం జాతు నాశం త్వం నేమే జనాధిపః న చైవ న భవిష్యామః సర్వే వయం అతః పరం. సో హియర్ న త్వేవాహం జాతు నాశం. కృష్ణ ఇస్ కంటిన్యూయింగ్ టు అర్జున్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్ట్ అర్జున అబౌట్ the difference between the temporary body and the eternal soul. And in that connection, he is stating that natva evaham jatu nasam. Or actually that is ta evaham, you, I, jatu nasam. But actually, no, it begins with no, not. So Krishna is using the negative with to start a sentence to have an emphasis. So, Neither you nor I,
tva is actually,
but, not tu, that you will come in the next line, tvam it is. So, but neither you nor I, asam. Asam means exists, na refers to or did not. So, na asam means it was not that you nor I ever, it didn't exist. Natvam neme jana adhipaha. Adhipa means to control or to rule. Jana means people. So, jana adhipaha are those who rule people. That means the kings. So, ime jana adhipaha. That means all these kings who are assembled in this war field. So, all the kings whose death, the thought of whose death has you so afflicted. So, there was... There was never a time when they did not exist. Na chaiva na bhavishyamaha. And even in the future, sarve vayam ataha param. Bhavishyamaha will continue to exist. Even in the future, ataha param. Sarve vayam ataha param. So here, essentially, what Krishna is telling Arjuna is that you, O Krishna, are eternal and you are indestructible and so is everyone else. And now eternal means
existing in the past, existing at present
and existing in the future. Okay, so where do we move forward from here? Krishna will explain the consequence of knowing this. When he will say that, Namuhiyati, dhiras tatra namuhiyati, don't be deluded by these things. So the previous verse said that, Arjuna, you are getting affected by things, you are mourning for things which are not worthy of mourning. And next verse says that, such a person will not mourn, the sober person will not mourn. That means, the knowledge is described here can make you, Arjuna, also like that. So now, what exactly is this knowledge? We will all continue to exist. Specifically, what is it that continues to exist that Krishna will hint at
in the next verse when he talks about Dehi?
He talks about how inside the body there is the soul and the soul is eternal. But in this particular verse, Krishna is talking about the fact that everybody will continue to exist. He is not talking so much about who is it that will continue to exist? He's talking about the fact that they will all continue to exist. Now, of course, the bodies are going to die. So, it's clear that Krishna is not referring to the continued existence at the bodily level. He is talking about existence at the physical level, at the spiritual level. That will become more clear in the next verse. But this verse can refer to not just it refers not just to the body but to the soul. And as while referring to the soul, it refers to
the fact that actually the eternal is unchangeable, it is indestructible, it lasts forever. And therefore, Arjuna, all these kings are going to live forever, and all these kings, because they live forever, you should not grieve for their death. This verse our acharyas have explained, especially from the point of Ramanujacharya onwards, can serve as a refutation of the Mayavadi idea that we all merge into the absolute in an absolute sense. And there is the whole idea of individuality is an illusion. Because if the idea of individuality were an illusion, then Krishna would not have said that in future also they will continue to exist. So now Krishna talks not just about those kings continuing to exist. Krishna talks about I-ness and you-ness, even while referring to himself. The impersonals hold that such concepts of I-ness and you-ness are actually illusory. So if they are illusory, then why is Krishna using them? If Krishna is under illusion, then there is no need for Krishna. Then Krishna speaking of philosophy is invalid. Krishna is under illusion, then how can he speak philosophy that can take us out of illusion? So Krishna is not under illusion. Krishna is actually enlightened. Actually, Krishna is the person who is himself enlightened, and knowing whom makes everyone else enlightened. So therefore, to say that Krishna is under illusion is a serious misconception with serious consequences. And in order to counter that misconception, it's important that Arjuna recognize the true nature of Krishna, and that recognition is what this verse underscores. So, right at the beginning of Krishna's talking about spirit, Krishna talks about the multiplicity of spirit. That there is not just one spiritual being, there are multiplicities. And he says about them in the future also. So by this, he points out how individuality is an irreducible reality in the spiritual realm. And this argument is so important that Krishna will revisit it again in 7.24, 9.11. Of course, in those verses, he focuses on the eternality of his personality. But that also serves the same point. If his personality is eternal, that means personality is eternal. And if personality is eternal, then impersonalism is what is a temporary illusion. It is not an eternal truth. So here, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that don't think that your loved ones will cease to exist. They will continue to exist, and therefore you don't have to lament for them. And they were existing in the past, they are existing in present, and they will exist in the future. Avishyami atah param. So let's quickly recap what he is saying. First of all, he is talking about the plurality of beings, and he's talking about the eternality of beings. So the impersonalists talk only about a unity of being, and they talk only about a unity of being in an impersonal sense. So they say there is just existence, which is contentless consciousness. That means normally, whenever we are conscious of something, that there is the subject, there is the object, and there is the stream of consciousness that links the subject to the object. Let me say, if I observe the computer in front of me, then I am the subject.
The computer is the object, and there is a stream of consciousness which moves from the from me to the computer. So normally consciousness implies these three things: subject, object, and stream of consciousness. But Mayavad implies that, or Mayavad argues that there is no subject and object. There is only there. In their words, they call it pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is, according to them, contentless consciousness. So, pure consciousness, that sort of consciousness, actually, there is no one to be conscious of, and there is nothing to be conscious of. And there is really no happiness actually to be had without any individuality and reciprocity. But what Krishna is saying over here is not contentless consciousness. There is clearly content. Krishna is saying, I, you, and they. So all of us are there, and that indicates that there is content even to pure consciousness. So pure consciousness actually is not contentless consciousness. It's contaminationless consciousness. So contaminationless consciousness means that there are no illusions, there are no material attachments, there is no lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion. And because of that, the consciousness stays eternally. The consciousness delights eternally at the spiritual level in the reciprocation of pure spiritual love. And that revelation will come progressively in the Gita, for example, in 10.11 and at other places, where spiritual ecstasy will be talked about. But essentially in this verse, by emphasizing the eternality of various beings, Krishna not only refutes materialism, but also refutes impersonalism. Thank you.